We once again approach the time of year that most people face with fear and loathing, tax season. And with crypto now part of the equation, many people have no clue how to calculate their crypto taxes and keep the IRS at bay. Today, we're pleased to welcome Clinton Donnelly back to the show to provide all the latest tax info and answer our questions. Now, you might not want to listen to a show about taxes, but you really should. And we promise to do it with humor so as to ease your pain. A spoonful of sugar helps the crypto tax forms go down easier, right? So get ready for a sugar load on this episode number 487 of the Mad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Who's bad?
So we're going to do a show about Texas right now, Travis.
Man, I'll tell you what, I heard Texas might be receding from the union.
Receding? Like, yeah. My hair, like your hairline.
Yeah, it's going to recede from America.
It's going to fall into that there Mexico.
Well, it's going to become part of Mexico.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I read this wrong. It's not Texas. It's taxes. Oh. I want to talk about taxes.
I'm the tax man.
I'd rather talk about Texas.
Yeah.
But you know what?
We'd have important to have the guys from Wild West Crypto on.
Right. Yeehaw! Hey, Brett and Drew, we see you guys and appreciate what you do. If you guys haven't listened to Wild West Crypto, great little podcast, and from two great big guys. They're not little at all.
I don't even know if it's a medium podcast. It's not so little.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got a little studio. We were a little podcast. We're not like big timey or anything.
Oh, no, we're medium timey.
We're sub-medium, but greater than small timey.
Yeah, like what's bigger than little and smaller than medium? That.
In between.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes, that is true. And we've got a great interview with Clinton Donnelly, and you really do want to listen because there's updated information. And if you're trading in cryptos, whether you like dealing with the stuff or not, you need to know what you're doing. So we'll get to that in a minute. First of all, want to give a shout out to our friends at Electronium and AnyTask. What can you get done at anytask.com? Anything. Duh. It's right there in the name. Thousands of high quality tasks starting at just $1. We've used them. You should too. Go to anytask.com and find the specialist you need to get your job done.
Mm-hmm. Any digital task, because you can't like call them up and say, hey, come clean my gutters. But you might be able to, but you'd probably have to fly that person in from like Zimbabwe to fly them in to do your gutters, but it might cost more.
The price will still start at $1. And a good way to get that dollar or more is to get some free Bitcoin from Travis and myself.
Yeah. Check us out. We've talked about eToro for a long, long time. And if you've listened to the show for a long time, you would have known that, man, you probably should have done this long ago because, man, look at how much crypto has gone up, and it will continue most likely to go up. And so on eToro, you can build a diversified portfolio of at least 14 of the most popular cryptos. I think there's maybe some more that's popping up on there. And you can do this copy trader thing. There's $0 in commission trading. There's this social trading stuff you can do. badco.in/eToro. And if you go there and buy $50 worth of Bitcoin and then send us the proof of that and we double check it and all of that, then we'll send you $50 in Bitcoin, which is becoming less and less Satoshis by the day. So you probably ought to hurry up.
Get it done. And by the way, those of you who are waiting on yours, we try to do these once a month in batch. We need to hear back from eToro. They confirm it. And then, so I don't have to, send out Bitcoin every day. I do them once a month. So if you sent us your thing and it's like, well, it's been a few days, I haven't seen my $50. Just give it time. Give us 3-4 weeks to get them out to you. But we do so. We do so reliably. And that $50 in Bitcoin is sweet.
Speaking of sweet and funny, let's get in to the one and only Clinton Donnelly.
The crypto tax fixer. It's that time again. No, not the most wonderful time of the year. The least wonderful time of the year as we are approaching tax time. For CPAs of the world, they are in the thick of tax season, and we are pleased to welcome back to the Bad Crypto Podcast, Mr. Clinton Donnelly, the founder of Donnelly Tax Law. He is the crypto tax figure. The dude knows crypto and taxes. He's here to share with us the latest. Clinton, welcome back to Bad Crypto.
Great to be here, Joel and Travis. Love to be on your show. Love to talk tax.
You love to talk tax. I can't imagine anything I like talking, you know.
Well, you know, you talk about a three-letter word that ends in X.
It is a three-letter word that ends in X. Very, very nice. That is only a tax professional would make that joke.
Right. Oh, yeah. Or a witch. Think about it for hours.
Like, I will put a hex on you. That's a three-letter word that ends in EX.
So
that is one word.
For those who did not hear the show last year, we think it's a good idea to cover some basic ground again, because there's a lot of people that have gotten into crypto over the last year, and they don't know even the basic regulation around what's taxable and what's not when it comes to cryptocurrencies. So maybe just kind of give us some bullet points, lay a foundation here, and then we'll dive into some of the newer meat.
Well, Joel, you hit it right on the head. You know, we go through 12 years of education going through high school, and you're told to go out, make a job, make a living. Do you ever get taught how to do a tax return? Never. This is like the biggest interaction we have with the federal government outside of paying for speeding tickets that, you know, you're ever going to have to do. And you're never taught this in high school. Now, so, like, statistically, they're saying 60% of millennials, you know, these are guys that are, you know, younger than all of us, that are owners of cryptocurrencies, and they may never have had much money in their entire lives, but now they're sitting on minor fortunes because, you know, their investment in Chainlink and Polkadot went sky crazy, right? So how do you do taxes? How do you report that? What is taxable? I bought something. Do I have to pay taxes on it? You know, these are all questions they're asking. And what really shocks me, really gets me angry, Joel, is there's been very little guidance on how to do crypto reporting, and it's very complicated to report the taxes. I will say that. But there's people of, you know, young kids have come out of college, invested in crypto, and they didn't know what to report. So they reported nothing in 2017, even though they might have made $100,000 or $200,000. And they might have made more in the next couple of years, but they didn't report in 17. They didn't report in 18. They didn't report in 19. And now they're sitting on $500,000. And they're thinking, well, you know, if I report, then I get in trouble for the previous years. And so what's happening is the lack of education that the IRS has provided has turned a big chunk of our younger generation into tax evaders without them ever wanting to be there in the first place. This is, I guess, gets me riled. So you hit me on a hot button there.
No, it is interesting. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to figure the things out, and a lot of people maybe use H&R Block or TurboTax. Like, what about those folks? Is that a good solution for them?
Travis, you hit me at a spot that really gets me hot, even more so.
More so than the three-letter word.
You hit me in the spot that really gets me hot, and it's not going to stop.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So,
yabba dabba doo.
Here's the deal. I did a presentation for the AICPA, the American Institute of CPAs, as part of their, you know, how to do cryptocurrencies. And I was their lead speaker. And I would say that I would be conservative if I said that 95% of CPAs have no understanding of how to do cryptocurrency reporting, even at the very elementary level. They don't even know what cryptocurrencies are. They're not interested in learning. I'll tell you why. From a CPA point of view, this past year has been an crazy, crazy tax year with all these PPP loans and stimulus. All the tax laws have been stood on their head, changed at the last minute. And this is consuming a lot of the bread and butter work of accountants. At the same time, they look at guys that come into their office with cryptocurrencies. And these guys generally have a lot of money. All right, because whatever they bought went skyrocket. I mean, I was talking to a guy last week. At the beginning of 2000, he never owned any cryptos. He put in $2,000 into cryptocurrencies. You know, this is a millennial. And then he got his $1,200 stimulus check, and he plowed it into his investment. I think he invested in like some John McAfee investment thing, whatever. And it went to the moon, all right? And then he took it out, invested in some other thing off Uniswap, and now he's sitting on top of $500,000. Like, that's what I call stimulus.
Wow.
How do you report taxes on that? I mean, he's never seen that type of money. He doesn't even know what a taxable event is. He waltzes into an accountant's office, and the accountant is paralyzed. He has no idea what a Uniswap is, has no idea what any of that stuff is, and he's terrified because his professional liability and omissions policy does not cover things he doesn't know anything about, let alone the risk of being wrong with someone that high. Did you know that 45% of Americans don't pay any income tax? 45%. That means, if I flip it around, like 45% of the income tax returns have zero taxes owed. This is the space where H&R Block, Liberty Tax, TurboTax, they all want to go after that market. Why? Because the risk, if they're wrong in doing something, if their accuracy guarantee is incorrect, the risk is still so small. All right, I mean, $1,000. What's that risk here? It's not even the cost of a lawyer. But when you bring in a crypto trader and you miscalculate his gains, and he owes an extra $100,000 when he's audited, and they have to pay. Well, now they got risk. And what is really shocking, Travis, is this year, TurboTax, statistically, 1/3 of all the tax returns in America are done on TurboTax. I mean, wow. That includes accountants and everything. Okay. 1/3. That's how big they are. They own 2/3 of the do-it-yourself market. All right. They have backed away from cryptocurrencies. It used to be they said, you know, they asked the question, did you own cryptocurrencies? Oh, here, click this button, input your cryptocurrency gains. You won't see that anymore. They've buried it. They pushed it away. I've talked to guys in the cryptocurrency space, the guys do the crypto gain calculation products that are out there. They've said they're totally disillusioned with TurboTax. TurboTax doesn't want anything to do with it. And why? They're going to make their money off the lower income aspects of the United States that doesn't have much tax risk for them to go after. So we have accountants, we have all the retail software guys are all running away from crypto investors.
Mm.
And the IRS is sharpening their knives. Well, you know what? There's only so much of me. I have a team of almost 10 employees now. There's only so much of me I can help. So we've come out with some new products that I'm super excited about to help people do it themselves. We've come out with a product called at CryptoTaxAudit.com. We have not only some incredible audit management tools, but we're also coming out with a package that shows you how to do your own crypto tax return using our bulletproof crypto tax return methodology that we use in our professional company. So we're using a different piece of software that is more powerful than TurboTax. And here's some exciting things. The cost of that software is $0.
That's my favorite cost.
It's beautiful. And then we have like you pay maybe $59 for your crypto gain calculation service, like Acointing.com, do your analysis. And then then we have this at Crypto Tax Audit. What they sell are 3 membership levels. And this is actually totally a game changer. We can monitor your IRS account, and we can determine 6 months in advance before the IRS is going to audit you. How do we, you go to the website, we'll show you how you do that. But what happens, the IRS computer systems are really like 50 or 60 years old. The data structures, they can't extract them. They're so bad.
Are they using DOS?
Actually, they are. They're using, they're not using network. I mean, they're using ISAM and very elementary data structures, not even relational data, but Access, Microsoft Access is more powerful than the data structures they have.
Wow.
So they have these giant.
How are you able to know months in advance then with their archaic systems?
Very good. Very good, Travis. So their archaic systems are basically batch oriented. They fire up a supercomputer, grinds through everybody's taxes, looking for relationships and outside information. And they flag your account with a transaction code. They'll say, we're going to go after, we're going to look at this guy, 2018. He didn't report all his income. We know about that. Or he has unusually high this or that. We're going to flag him. And we can see that timestamp. And that tells us that they're going to have an audit. Now, generally, about 6 months later, a human gets involved. And the auditor makes the decision whether or not he wants to push the audit to actually do it. So if you have that 6-month lead time, what can you do? You can say, there's something they're looking for. Let's take a deep dive on the tax return. What did we do wrong? Did we report our cryptos? Did we do this? Did we do that? Okay, let's do it. Let's report it. Let's submit it, an amended return, before the IRS starts the audit and you avoid the 20 to 40% accuracy penalty. So what we're, when you have this technology, what we're recommending to our clients to do now is, rather than going back and amending your 17, 18, and 19 tax returns, which you don't really have to do unless, you know, the IRS is coming after you, use the crypto tax audit service to watch it. It watches the entire, any tax return that you have, it watches all years, not just 1 year like TurboTax. And we watch all years. And if you get flagged, then we'll go back and change the return. So my strategy that I recommend now, based on what we're watching and seeing the IRS do, is when someone comes to me and says, I got past taxes, I didn't report with my cryptos. I filed returns, but I didn't report my cryptos. I made a lot of money in 2020. What do I do? I say, let's do 2020 absolutely correctly. Let's report everything and do it correctly. Let's use crypto tax audit. Let's monitor the past years. If we see the IRS coming after us, then we'll mend it and fix it right then. But if we file returns, the IRS sees that, and it automatically, it's about an 80% chance you get an audit if we amend those past returns. So,
you know, apart from the obvious reasons that this is important, the IRS has literally put cryptocurrencies front and center on the tax return now. I mean, you fill out your name, and right below, what's the phraseology?
This is big. This is the biggest change in the tax return this year. You know, like you said, right after your name and address, serial number, they ask, did you sell, send, exchange, or have any financial interest in a virtual currency?
I mean, they're putting the spotlight on it. It's like, boom, right there.
You're so right. They have not provided additional guidance, but they've escalated the tension level. I mean, I have so many people call up and say, if they're afraid of this, if I check yes, then the IRS is going to look at my past returns and ask why I did things. I mean, I talked to a guy today who said, all I did this past year was buy. I never sold. I never exchanged it for anything else. I just bought Bitcoin, bought. I said, well, you got to send yes to that question, but there's nothing you have to report because you never sold anything. There's no taxable event until I sell or exchange for another coin, that currency. I don't have to report anything tax-wise. There's no tax on buying. So, you know, I said, there's a perfect example where it's going to say yes, but there's nothing crypto in the return other than that. And people are so afraid if they say yes, that somehow the IRS spotlight is going to shine on them and every sin they've ever committed financially will be exposed, right? And here's my answer to that. IRS doesn't say, did you own cryptocurrency? They ask, did you own virtual currency? What's virtual currency? It's a very loose definition. It's not really well defined. They basically define it as a digital representation of a store of value. Now, what's a store of value? Frequent flyer miles. That's a store of value. You can use those things and cash them in and buy a raincoat or something. Here's another example of a store of value. You go to Safeway or Kroger's, you get your Krogering card there and rack up some points. You can buy a wok at the end of the year. That's a digital store of value. All right. You go down to the Starbucks, you got your frequent visitor card, and they punch a hole in it, and every 10th drink you get for free. That's a store of value. All right. So I believe, as my professional tax opinion, is that it would be hard pressed to find anybody who should answer no. And if everybody takes that position, you will not see that question on next year's return because it'll be utterly meaningless.
Yeah, it's like I got some World of Warcraft virtual currency.
Better check yes.
better call Saul, or you better call Clinton Donnelly. So CryptoTaxAudit.com. So there's some other stuff that's going on, not only virtual currencies, but virtual assets. And a lot of people are in the NFT space, and NFTs are blowing up. And we're seeing NBA Top Shots right now here in this month. It's sold well over $30 million in crypto assets this month, NBA Top Shots. And it's crazy. So NFTs are blowing up. What's the whole strategy on NFTs now?
Well, NFTs, the deal with NFTs is that each one is different. An NFT is a an asset, typically like art, where it's one of a kind. It's not fungible. It's a non-fungible token is what it stands for, NFT. So it is an asset that stands for some artwork. I spoke on a conference, at Crypto Basel conference in the West Coast, virtually, which is all a bunch of digital artists. And I have several clients that are making a fortune selling digital artwork using NFTs. And this is so big. It's so exciting. I was talking to some people that do work on Instagram doing this sort of thing. What we have to do with them is that although they're traded on Ethereum, they are not interchangeable with other NFTs. So you have to basically track what you purchased it for and what you sold it for separately from any other coin. And we can do that for you.
How in the world can you do that? I mean, you know, we deal with Wax on the Wax blockchain, and there are so many NFTs being bought and sold. And it's not like when you buy an NFT on the Wax blockchain, you keep track of, you know, how much it was worth at the time you bought it. You know, because you're trading in this digital, this virtual currency. There's not even reports that you could export to track that.
Mm-hmm. And it's not only that, it's like maybe you spent 10 wax on it, but at the time wax was worth 2 cents, but then you sold it for 10 wax. And then later on the 10 wax was worth four cents. And so technically you doubled, but you really didn't because it's still wax.
Well, that's whacked. The challenge here is that the Achilles heel of all the crypto exchanges is record keeping. I mean, you got these DeFi exchanges that don't keep any records of what's happening. You know, it's left to you. And, you know, while yes, you can say, well, it's all on the blockchain. Well, not all of it is on the same blockchain. And sometimes, you know, you're spanning between chains and stuff. You know, it's extremely messy. The good news from a tax point of view is the IRS has no better tools than you do for tracking this. In fact, they have worse tools. So, you know,
I'm trying to picture them trying to figure this out. And, you know, if they're using systems that are dated by decades, we barely understand how all this stuff works on blockchain. How in the world would they even begin to audit that in 2021?
So I have, as part of what we're doing with crypto tax audit, I'm probably the top audit defender in the US for crypto tax returns. I got 16 clients being audited on their crypto tax returns. And several of them are very progressed. And here's what it's come down to. The people from the this is the Large Business International Group of the IRS who do the cryptocurrency compliance campaign. They're basically have come, and I had this client, he had, 120,000 transactions, 2017 and 18, you know, and they can't figure this out. They can't make heads or tails of it. They don't know where to start. They could run the calculations and they'd come up with different numbers than we'd come up. It doesn't mean that we're wrong. It's just, they had different assumptions. So they don't really know how to uncan it. Here's what it came down to. They asked the auditor, please do a write-up on the whole situation and tell us what you think, you know, is this person being honest and complete and accurate in what they're doing? It was really a subjective test. The auditor told me this. He said, you know, it's subjective. That's where they're at right now. They don't really know. You think about it from the IRS point of view. 10 years ago, the only data points they would get on you would be your end of the year W-2 and maybe a couple 1099s, maybe you had a brokerage account, you know, with 1099s. That's it. It's all end of the year summary data. But now with cryptocurrencies, we're talking, you know, thousands and millions. I have one client this year, he did 4 million transactions. Oh, yeah. And IRS, well, if they audit him, they'll say, well, give us a printout of all, I mean, this will be like, I mean, this would be like 10,000 pages of like a PDF file giving it to them. They don't know what to do with it. They can't even print it. All right. So they're up against the wall. So they're still struggling on how they audit cryptocurrencies. And I think there's two things that are going to happen. One is they're going to be reluctant to clamp down too hard because the cryptocurrency market is changing so fast that like 3 years from now, when they go to court, the whole cryptocurrency market might be completely upside down from what it is now. And you know, they don't want to be litigating that. Secondly, I think where they're ultimately going to, and this is where you see most of the international activity is in the anti-money laundering regulations on cryptocurrency. We saw this at the end of last year. Well, actually, in January this year, right? The Trump administration put through a change on FinCEN that required know your client information about private wallet transfers. And then we had Janice Yellen come out and say, Janet Yellen come out and say that, you know, we need more anti-money laundering regulation. This is the theme for 2021, 2022. It's going to be international coordination of anti-money laundering regulation, which is going to put a depressing push on cryptocurrency exchanges. So it won't be like the heydays 2 years ago where you might have had like 20 different accounts at 20 different exchanges and you're moving it from here to Hong Kong, to Malta, you know, to Panama. That stuff is going to start to become suppressed because you're going to run into anti-money laundering roadblocks. And this is, I think, going to be the increasing theme this year and next.
How dare people do what they want with their money? We can't have that. that's just wrong. I mean,
not without the government taking a take.
Yeah. So
maybe that's the case for NFTs, though, is that potentially, Joel? Or, you know, you think it's like maybe these exchanges that are doing NFTs have to build taxes into the transaction. That way it's easier for them to say, all right, they'll just say 2% of NFT transactions go to the government. And there it is. And just there you go.
Well, that's like a sales tax.
Yeah, like a sales tax of some sort.
Well, I would not be surprised, Travis. I thought that I would not be surprised. It wouldn't be right away, but maybe down the road when you know, they allow banks to have their own stable currencies, that they might not legislate a tax field inside the blockchain. You know, has this coin been taxed and by who? Was there a transfer of ownership? Has the new person been taxed? I mean, you're really going to have to drive transaction taxation down to that level. It's a great insight.
So what's the best way for people to prepare right now? I mean, this is not something that, gee, I can't wait to go and gather all my information and reports and, you know, download all this stuff. How do we manage this, especially when we're talking about so many people using decentralized, you know, exchanges where you can't get reporting easily?
Well, there are tools available to, there's three elements to this. One is you need to use a crypto gain calculation service. I'm thinking like acointing.com, a very powerful one. We have cointracking.info, token tax, .com, cryptotrader.io, cointracker.io. There's a bunch of them. There's about six of them that are really strong, and there's some other players. But you need to use one of those services. You're going to plug in your exchanges. You're going to plug in your addresses from your ETH. It'll pull all those transaction records down. When it comes to the DeFi transactions, it's not clean. It's not messy. But we have to lean on these services because, you know, once you get past 10 trades, I mean, you can't do this on a spreadsheet. You have to use these services. And I'm very excited about what Acointing and some of those other companies are doing. Now, once you have that output in terms of what your calculated gains are that you have to report taxes on and your other income, then I recommend people use OLT.com. OLT stands for online tax. It's a free tax. The price for using the service is $0 to file your federal tax return. You pay $8 if you want support. So I think it's a good buy. And another $8 if you want to do a state tax return. You can't, I mean, you know, TurboTax is charged like $100, $120 for this sort of thing, right? This software package, OLT, supports more forms than TurboTax does. TurboTax stupefies the tax preparation process and keeps people, particularly crypto traders, from doing all the things they would want to do. So I really love this OLT software. And we have that course, as I mentioned, on crypto tax audit, which we'll show you how to use that software to prepare your return, do a bulletproof return. So that's really the strategy. You really can't trust TurboTax. You can't trust H&R Block. You can't trust your regular accountant. Then you prepare the return yourself. If you want a second pair of eyes, you go to your local accountant that you've used, or we have a service that we're going to offer where you can call up and, you know, for an hour, we'll review your tax return with you. So, you know, we're trying to make it as, you know, a great tax returns as accessible to as many people as possible.
That's interesting. So let's talk about strategies maybe to minimize income taxes, right? So we know there's like, you can go to Puerto Rico, there's some tax incentives there. Maybe there's some long-term capital gains in some other places, or maybe some other tax strategies. Or maybe can I just, you know, can you just say, all right, I denounce my U.S. citizenship. I am a sovereign human being, and FO to all of that. Well, how does that work?
Okay, great. All those tax saving strategies fall into three flavors. The first flavor is, what can I do just, you know, in my living room to adjust how taxes happen? The second strategy is, if I'm willing to move, can I move somewhere else and change my tax strategy? The third one you mentioned, if I give up the U.S. citizenship, is that really a good strategy? So the first one is, in terms of strategies I have, you know, without doing anything, you know, really shaking, is number one tax strategy is use long-term capital gains. If I own a coin for over a year, I get the tax rate is like half of what you would otherwise pay. That's your biggest easy to use strategy. Congress likes that. The second strategy is you could put.
Hey Clinton, is it a year or is it 18 months?
1 year.
It's 1 year now. Okay. Did it used to be 18 months?
Not in my recollection.
Okay. I'm just making it up then. All right.
That's you got a good imagination. Now, the second one is to have like a company. You could put your cryptos in a company, and there are some small tax benefits you get out of it, like, you know, something about your retirement plan and health insurance. But nothing really that exciting that I would go overboard on. The third one would be trader tax status. If you're a type of trader that did over 10,000 trades, you know, we ought to be talking about trader tax status. So rather than treating it as capital gains, you treat it like a business where your cryptos are basically inventory that you're selling. You're buying and selling. So it creates a different tax advantage. And also, if you have a losing year, trader tax status is fantastic. You can write off the entire loss in the same year. In terms of moving, you could move to foreign countries, but as an American citizen, you're taxed on your U.S. income worldwide, wherever you live. That means you could go to Bali and, you know, be making a fortune off your cryptos trading, but IRS would still want its cut. So you have to report that, and of course, without, you know, engaging in evasion. The only strategy to avoid that is Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is, in capital letters, America's tax haven. Puerto Rico has a special tax code that was created so that any income derived from Puerto Rico does not get reported on your federal tax return. Okay, it's the only place in the world you can live and not, as a citizen, a U.S. citizen, not have to report that income to the U.S. government. So what does that mean? So Puerto Rico has a special program for any gains that you have on cryptocurrency trading, your tax rate is 0% on that portion that's owned in Puerto Rico. So this is, I mean, I have like four clients a week calling me up talking about Puerto Rico, because we do a lot there. We have significant connections with accountants, lawyers, relocation people. I had a client who was an engineer on a particular coin, and I spoke to them in December. Him and his dad, and he owned at that point $1 million in that coin, and he wanted to do what it took to, you know, reduce his taxes. He and his dad said, let's send him to Puerto Rico. So on the 28th of December, he flies down to Puerto Rico. He had been in Puerto Rico one week, and he now owned $4 million because his coin had gone up. All right, so that means that $3 million gain, since he was in Puerto Rico, if he goes through the whole process, that $3 million of gain is taxed at 0%.
Mm.
And anybody who's going to the moon, you need to get to Puerto Rico to take advantage of that. It depends on the day you arrive, is very important. But
if you're going to the moon, you have to stop through Puerto Rico first.
I would say if your asset value is, Puerto Rico is fun. Puerto Rico is like the moon. That's about as close as you get to the moon is Puerto Rico. I would say if you have asset values today in the area of $1 million, then you probably want to start thinking about a Puerto Rican option to really reduce your taxes. You know, assuming that cryptos go up for like the next 2 years and then they go down again, you know, you only have to be in Puerto Rico for a couple years. lock in all that 0% gain, and then you can leave, go back to.
Also, assuming that the U.S. Congress, and the government doesn't make Puerto Rico a state, right? Because if that happens, you think there'll be a grandfather period?
Well, it takes a long time to become a state because you got to have that's an amendment to the Constitution.
Right. No. Joe's just going to sign something. He's like, what am I signing? He's like, all right, Puerto Rico.
No, that's probably it. Somebody gives him a Puerto Rican mask and he's like, J-Lo. So it takes like 2/3 of the states have to approve it, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the problem here is I don't think Puerto Rico ever become a state because of the nature of our politics in the U.S. having become so fixated on the two-party division. You know, everybody realizes that Puerto Rico would become, you get two more Democratic senators and, a couple more representatives. They're all Democratic. The Republicans will never let this happen. The states will never, 2/3 of the states, it'll never happen. It would destabilize the stupid balance of power we have in this country.
No, okay. It's all voted by Dominion, so it's all mute now. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's
moot.
It's moot. That's what I meant to say.
It's a moot point. It's like a counter opinion.
It won't happen. So because of that, Puerto Rico is bankrupt. Puerto Rico has massive unemployment. Puerto Rico has regular earthquakes and hurricanes.
Well, you're making it sound really appealing.
It's a Hispanic culture, which for a lot of Americans, that's not something they're comfortable or familiar with.
I love Mexican food.
And they got great music.
Yeah.
But it might not be.
You gotta have an underground bunker. It's like, you got these earthquakes and these hurricanes, but you got crypto taxes are pretty much zero. So with all your savings, you can buy a bunker.
I have friends who live there and they love it. And they've been trying to get me to move. In fact, I was, if you'll remember, Clinton, I was going to move last May, and then COVID happened and everything got shut down. So that's all on hold at the moment, is reevaluating. But
they were pretty draconian, huh, Joel, on the Puerto Rico locked down Puerto Rico.
It was kind of like all of the major, blue cities. But where my friends are, they're not in San Juan where, things were totally draconian and it was a lot looser. So I would not want to be in the city. I don't want to be in any major metropolitan area anymore. I've had it.
Oh, yeah, there's some really nice parts of Puerto Rico, where a lot of the I'll call them expats are, and there's lovely communities.
Palmas, there you go. Yeah.
And the beaches stuff. I mean, you're going there for a couple of years. Why are you doing it? Because you can make more money there faster at 0% capital gain than hanging around, giving your money to a state that has not done anything to earn it.
Maybe we start the bad crypto Puerto Rico community, Trev. We just all right, all y'all sign up on the sign up sheet. Who's going to Puerto Rico? And we'll get our own little commune.
Create our own little bad crypto commune.
Yeah, then we
would be bad crypto Puerto Rico.
You could do a Puerto Rican month. You could go down there and have interviews with lawyers and accountants and real estate people. And there's people at the crypto environment down there. They have Crypto Monday meetings. They used to before lockdowns. You could spend a month there and it'd be a fascinating set of shows.
Mm. Mm. Well, Clint, we appreciate you coming back on and giving us the latest and the greatest. The website that we want to send people to is CryptoTaxAudit.com. This is not a referral linking. This is a naked link. I use the service and I can recommend. In fact, I've seen some reporting that Clinton puts out from his organization and it's stuff I've never seen before. In fact, why don't we go ahead and just talk about that as we close out? This
is like a 40-page report. It's crazy.
This report that you sent me just this morning on my history with the IRS. Now, let's not get into specifics about me, but let's talk about the report.
So great. So we can pull, you signed an authorization when you became, a member of Crypto Tax Audit, and we could pull all your records from the IRS going back to the year 2000. And we can see what you paid, when you paid it. We can see all the transactions the IRS did. We can see, how much you paid. The IRS changed it. We saw events that were in, some people have perfect tax lives. They calculate out their tax perfectly. They pay it perfectly. And they have perfect tax returns and perfect reports.
And perfect hair.
That way.
They have perfect hair and
They do. I have other people that are like they could never file a tax return that doesn't get audited. They can never put anything together. I have guys that have gaps, years that they haven't filed. And we can watch what's happening. What did we do in the report? I can show you, did you have any liens? Are they watching any of your tax years ready for an audit? When will they lose the ability to audit your past tax returns, the expiration date? There's a whole series of stuff about bankruptcy. If you need to declare bankruptcy and write off some tax debt, that's there. But also all the transaction codes. We saw in there the stimulus payments that they sent you. So, it's very interesting. And as a result of going through there, I actually found two hidden refunds that they sent you the paperwork for. You go ahead and submit it and you can get some money back from the IRS. I mean, this is it is for some people that would pay thousands and thousands of dollars. So, and we update it on a monthly basis. We're going to update that on the accounts. And if you ever get flagged for an audit, then we'll email you and contact you and say, hey, big news, you're getting flagged for an audit. Let's work. If you go to the website, I can actually show you six or three of my clients and how the audits worked. I have one of them who the audit flag happened 9 months before the audit happened, but we knew about it and we adjusted for it. He's one of the ones that, we knew we'd go through audit and we felt good about it. So it's a fantastic service. Nobody else is doing this. Nowhere else. I mean, like if you buy TurboTax's audit guarantee, or if you buy H&R Block's peace of mind guarantee, these are more about their peace of mind, not yours. They'll help you once you get the audit letter. But with crypto tax audit, and it's really not limited to cryptos. It could be, you don't have to be crypto oriented to get this. We'll let you know 6 months before that letter ever gets sent. All right. It's a total game changer.
Precognitive sort of tax recognition. Like, you know what's happening.
Well, it's better than having it sprung on you. So absolutely. We recommend it, guys. Check it out. Clinton is our go-to guy for taxes, and we definitely stand by you making him your go-to guy as well. CryptoTaxAudit.com for audit protection, and DonnellyTaxLaw.com if you'd like to have a personal consultation and speak with Clinton yourself. It's DonnellyTaxLaw, DonnellyTaxLaw.com, and on Twitter, he's at CryptoTaxLaw. Fixer. Thanks, Clint. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Hey, it's a pleasure. Always.
Thanks for coming back to the show, Clinton. We do appreciate you guys. Should also follow him at Crypto Tax Fixer on the Twitters, DonnellyTaxLaw.com for a personal consultation, and CryptoTaxAudit.com for audit protection. Wear a tax condom. You do not want to get the IRS pregnant.
Wear a tax Jimmy hat.
Sir Lord Travis, our friends at Animoca continue to be the global leader in branded blockchain gaming. So many different properties, and one of them is F1 Delta Time, which is around the Formula One racing game. And they have created a new paradigm for digital ownership in gaming through the blockchain. Official F1 non-fungible collectible tokens allow players to participate in a play-to-earn gaming ecosystem where skills are rewarded with real value rewards. All of the core gameplay assets in F1 Delta Time can be wholly owned, traded, and sold by players, and also used to play the game itself. So it empowers players like never before. Check them out. F1DeltaTime.com is the website. I've played it, and I recommend that you give it a try as well. These guys are leading the way.
Yeah, Animoca. That sounds like what like a drink that I might get at like Starbucks. I like a venti double Anna Mocha.
With extra mocha.
With extra mocha.
Half the Anna. Yeah. Thanks for that. Hey, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure you join our Telegram, t.me/badcryptopodcast, or is it badco.in/telegram? I don't know. It's one of those. Find us. It's easy to find us on Telegram. And lots more great content coming your way soon. We appreciate you. Well, I do. Travis, do you appreciate them?
Most of them.
Which one don't you appreciate?
Well, there's one guy who said that thing about the deal on that one review.
Yeah.
And then he quit listening because he thought that, I don't know, screw that guy. Yeah. Everybody else, I love you, and you can all stay bad.
Who's bad?
Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the crypto tax go down. Crypto tax go down. Crypto tax go down in the most delightful way.